Hey kids, do you want to come on down the front? I need some helpers this morning.
It was a big rush, wasn't it?
Come on down the front. That's excellent. Very good. We've got a few more. Good work. I've got some other helpers today, but I've got some thank you gifts. Now, I know James gave away healthy stuff last week. Well, stuff you couldn't eat, but I've got these today. Is that okay? Is that all good? Excellent. All righty. Grab a seat. Fantastic. Who knows their superheroes? Who knows their superheroes? You know your superheroes? No. Well, we could be in trouble. Parents, we might need some help today. Some of these are a little bit older. So I'm going to hold up a character, and you've got to tell me who his opposition is or who the other guy is. Some of the guys I've got are bad guys, so you've got to think of the good guy. Some of the guys I've got are good guys, so you've got to think of the bad guy. Does that make sense? You got me? You're right? All right, are you ready for the first one? Here we go. Okay, very topical one, this one. Anyone know who he is? What's his name?
Darth Vader. He is your father.
No, he's not. No, he's not your father. All right, Darth Vader. Okay, so is he a good guy or a bad guy? Hint, he's wearing black. Yes. Bad guy. Yes, very good. Bad guy. Doesn't look very scary there, does he? Look at his head wobble. That's not me shaking. That's his head wobble. All right. If he's a bad guy, who's the good guy? Luke. His son. Sorry if I'm giving the story away for anyone else that hasn't been to Star Wars. Spoiler alert. All right, so yeah, so the good guy's Luke. Is there other good guys? Yeah? What are they called? Yes? The Jedi Knights. Yes, very good. The Force is strong with this one. Okay, here we go back to my favorite. Oh, sorry. Back to my childhood. Who knows who he is? Do you know who he is? Who is he? Spider-Man. 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 What was that? You're supposed to join in singing with me. Leave me hanging like that. So Spider-Man, is he a good guy or a bad guy? Hint, he's got white eyes. Yes, he's a good guy. Although the guy at the Julie Bugle doesn't think he's a good guy. Thinks he's a nuisance to society. All right, so if he's a good guy, who's the bad guys? Who knows the bad guys with this bloke? Any of the adults know the bad guys on this guy? No? Okay. Yes? Yeah? Green Goblin? Dr. Ock? The Lizard Man? Electro? You're doing well. Very good. Very good. I better hand out some of these because you're doing well. Oh, and Sandman. Yeah, can't forget Sandman. All right. If you can't have these, just pass them on. Bless other people. All right, and here we go. Excellent. All right, we've got another one here. This one might be a little bit trickier. Again, going back to my younger days. Who's he? Yes? He's the genie. Out of what? Aladdin. Very good. So is he a good guy or a bad guy? He's a good guy. Yes, he is. Who's the bad guy? Who's the bad guy? This is a tricky one. Who's the bad guy? Yep. You forgot his name? Just think of a very, very favourite chocolate, orangey chocolate. What's his? Jafar. Very good. Got the hint there? Yeah. Jaffa. Ah. Very tricky. Very tricky. I'm not just going to give it to you, Arthur. All right, one more. This one's a little bit more modern. This is my kid's zone. Who's he? Loki, very good. Excellent. I love that you're up the front helping me out here because look at his head boggle. Man, is he scared or what? What's the matter? Oh, yeah, you're worried. Yeah, I can see that. Who's his? Is he a good guy or a bad guy?
Bad.
He's a baddie, yes. He's actually a trickster. He's naughty, isn't he? Gets into a lot of trouble. Who's the good guy in this one? Anyone know? You guys know? Yes?
Thor.
Very good. Very good. What does Thor carry around? Yes.
A hammer.
Very good. Very good. You guys have done really well sitting there nice and quietly. There you go. Thank you very much. All right, so we've done a whole bunch of goodies and baddies. would you classify yourself, here you go, here you go, would you classify yourself as a goodie or a baddie? Here you go. Oh, that's a shocking throw. I've been watching the cricket. All right, and that was my left hand. All right, so are you a goodie? Put up your hand if you're a goodie. Oh, put up your hand if you're a baddie. Oh. Put up your hand if it's sometimes you're good and sometimes you're bad. Yeah. Depends. Yeah. Yeah, most of us are in that sort of range, aren't we? Sometimes, depends on the day. I wonder if in our cartoons and all our stories, it's as simple as he has an arch rival. He has an arch rival. He has. It's very simple, isn't it, in the movies? You know who the bad guys are. It gives it away with music. I mean, this guy has his own theme song. Does anyone know his theme song? Can anyone hum it? Ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. Very good. Very good. So he has his own theme song. So you could be sitting at home and your dad could go on the piano, dun, dun, and you'd think, Darth Vader's coming in the house. You know? So he's got his own theme song. All right. We're going to pray because sometimes in our world, worlds collide. Two different worlds collide quite dramatically. This one, a lot obvious. What we're talking about today is a different type of collision that's happening in our world. And we're talking about baby Jesus coming in. Do you think that's a bit of a collision with Jesus being born? It's a bit of a change in our world? Yeah? Yeah? We're going to learn a little bit more about that. So hang around down the front. A little bit later, I've got some colouring in and stuff for you to do if you'd like to do some of that. So hang around. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you for our kids. Thank you for their understanding of good and bad, and that some are obvious and really simple to see, some not so obvious. And Father, for even us, sometimes we're good and sometimes we're bad. But with your love, with your help, and with your strength, Lord God, we can know your forgiveness, we can know your healing, and we can walk in your strength as a follower of Jesus. And we pray that you would help us to do that each and every day. And all the kids said, amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Please feel free to stay here if you want, or you can go back.
James, thank you.
Great to have quite a few visitors, and we welcome you this morning. By looking at Facebook, I noticed that most of our young families are already on holidays and off visiting other families and camping and doing all sorts of interesting things. But we really do want to focus our services over this Christmas period on being family friendly. So we've got stuff here. So if any of the kids who are still up there want to come and do some colouring or whatever and join us down the front, they're most welcome to do that. This morning, Heather and I are off on our morning walk, and we were walking up the boardwalk at Coolum, and I found something. Can someone tell everyone what that is? You know what that is?
A puzzle piece.
It's a piece of a jigsaw puzzle. And so I picked it up and said, oh, Heath, I found the missing piece of the puzzle. And then that's sort of where I sort of left it until I put it in my pocket. And then I got it out and I started thinking about it. And I looked at it, and there's some lines on it. In one corner, there's something that looks like a little step. And I started to think, I wonder what the puzzle was about, what the big picture was from this little piece of puzzle. And I could imagine possibilities of things, but I just had no real idea of what it was. And it just made me think about life and about certain aspects of it. And I thought about the Christmas story and how we're focusing on that over these few weeks and how lots of people got one piece of the puzzle. An angel comes to Zechariah and says, your wife who's too old is going to have a baby, whose name's going to be John. An angel comes to Mary and says, you're a virgin, but you're going to have a baby. Lots of little bits of the story. Angels came to shepherds. Wise men saw a star. All these little bits that were pieces of a puzzle that they didn't know much about the rest of the picture, but as they came, they all added to the picture and it became a bigger and more meaningful picture. And now we sort of understand the whole picture of the Christmas story because all these little bits of a puzzle have come together. And then I thought bigger than that. thought, God's got a plan. He's got a mission for this whole world. He created it with a purpose. And everything he created was a part of the big picture. It was meant to be part of the big picture. And I thought about this puzzle. This puzzle's missing. A piece of the picture. And whilst I've only got one bit, someone else has got the rest. And if they actually put it together, there'll be a little bit that they don't know what's on that. Something's missing. Somehow, whether it was lost or someone deliberately took it out, a part of the big picture is missing. And Donnie's speaking this morning about two worlds colliding. God's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got a big picture. And he wants the puzzle to be, well, not the puzzle, but the picture, to be complete. And I just thought about that, that we're all part of that picture. Are we adding to the whole big picture to become what we're meant to be and show our part in the picture so it's meaningful? We also have someone who wants to take pieces of that puzzle or picture out. We have an enemy who wants to distract people, take them out, get them lost, like this piece was lost, and maybe never become part of that big picture. I wonder at the end of time for eternity, when God's got things wrapped up and as complete as they can be, in his heart there's a grief for missing bits of the picture. People who could have been part of that big picture, who got lost, snatched away, destroyed. And so I just want to put that out as a bit of a challenge for next year. We're really focusing on God's mission, our mission. Be part of the picture. Think about who else around you at the moment is not part of God's big picture in an active way. God loves them. He's searching after them. He doesn't want them to be lost. But some of them may be. What are we going to do to make sure that everybody gets to be part of that big picture of God? So it just really caught me this morning and got me really thinking. So I just put that out as a little addition to what Donnie's going to share this morning.
This morning the reading is from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. The visit of the Magi, or wise men, or kings, or whoever you like. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was born. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with the mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you very much, Peter. Hey, kids, Christmas. How far off? 7 days. Thank you, Dan. Who has a specific Christmas present they're really keen to get? Yes? A Kinder surprise. Yes. What about some of our adults? What sort of Christmas presents are people keen to get?
Breakfast in bed.
Breakfast in bed. Yeah. I don't think that's happening. I just saw the nod from your wife. Yeah. A new guitar? All right. Anyone else? Anyone got Christmas presents already? Yeah, a couple have got presents already. Have you opened them? No. I was given a Christmas present the other day. So was James. And we were told we had to open them right there and then. And James and I made a decision that we would wear them today. So I'm wearing mine. Can anyone read? Can you read that? What's it say? Can you read that? Big voice.
The greatest gift this Christmas, Jesus.
The greatest gift this Christmas is Jesus. And that's a gift that we all can receive this Christmas. Isn't that pretty cool? So I'm wearing my shirt. So to those that have blessed me with my first Christmas present that made me open it right there and then, there you go, I'm wearing it. Ha ha. The black and white, good and bad? Yes. Yeah. Hey, I need your help in this next segment. And I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. And you may need to share a little bit personally. Is anyone up for that? James is. Okay, cool. Yep. All right. Before I was a Christian, before Jesus entered my life, before I acknowledged him to be the one I wanted to follow in my life and asked him to forgive me of my sin, I wasn't the good guy you see before you today. I got up to some... I'm wearing black. I know. And I got white. I'll cover it up with the blood. How's that sound? Okay. There you go. I had a terrible, terrible mouth on me as a teenage boy. I swore so much. In fact, I think I've told you that even after I became a Christian at 14 and in my very first sermon that I got to preach in my Presbyterian church that I was a part of, I swore in my first sermon. The elders of the church were not happy and said something like he would never, ever, ever preach again in our church. And gave me references to the Baptist church. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. But no, I had a terrible mouth. And so there was a clash of kingdoms in my life as a young teenage boy trying to follow Jesus. Anyone else can testify that there was a clash of kingdoms in your life when you decided to follow Jesus? Arthur, yes, give me the dirt on Arthur. What was, yes. How bad were you?
I wasn't bad, but I had a great desire to play sport. And sport happened on Sunday, which created a great conflict in me. Give up sport, give up the church. Thankfully, I chose the church.
Yeah, big clash of kingdoms, that one. Yes, very good. All right, anyone else like to share something that big contrast? No, you can't dob other people in.
I grew up with Christian parents and went to Sunday school and even taught Sunday school at one stage. And then I discovered boys, and most things I wanted to do was go to the beach on Sunday. And this is in Cairns. So the boys won out, didn't they? Not a lot of boys. Only this one and one other one. But not at the same time. No, the other one first, anyway. Yes, it was just, it's either church or go out with your boyfriend. And so it was the boyfriend. And it took a long time for me to, for the Lord to get me to hear that he had enough of that. He wanted me back. And, yep, and it was 2002 before that happened, but...
Clash of kingdoms. Subtle, can't it be? Very subtle. Sport, nothing wrong with sport in its right place, is there? But it can become an idol, can't it? Nothing wrong with a good, healthy relationship with a boy or a girl, but it can get in the road. Subtle clashes of kingdoms, clashes of a world. One other person. Anyone else like to share?
When I was a teenager, I didn't do anything wrong, didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't go out, didn't do any of those things, but I was pretty satisfied in my own self that I could actually be good, and I didn't need anyone, didn't need God, and I thought I could do it myself. And that was, I guess, the biggest deception.
And then he met you and found out, okay. Well, that's a very good deception, isn't it? That you don't need any help. You don't need Jesus. You can do it by yourself. How many of us fall into that category? Hey, we can. We can think of our own strength and our own abilities, and we don't need Jesus. I'm just going to wrap it up, okay? But I'll talk a little bit more in a minute soon, okay? But we're all in that sort of spot in one sense or another, aren't we? We need to have Jesus. There is a clash of kingdoms at Christmas time. And we're going to look at the Bible in a minute and unpack that a bit. Just as we do get to that point, the reading that we just shared, what Peter read with us, what were the two main characters in that reading? Two main characters. Herod. Herod was one, yes. The other one. Who were the other main characters? Who says wise men? All right. Who says Donnie's being tricky? Yeah. Who says Jesus? Okay, go for it. Yeah, grade one, answer it R-I. The answer's always Jesus. That's it. Jesus. Got to remember that. So Jesus and Herod are the main characters in that. The wise men are a part of the story, an important part of the story. But Jesus was born. And then what did Herod want to know? He wanted to know all about Jesus. He didn't want to know about the wise men. He wasn't saying, where are you guys coming from? How far you got here? He wanted to know about Jesus. So Herod and Jesus. You reckon there's a clash of kingdoms between those two? We'll unpack that in a minute. Going back into our word today, two kingdoms colliding. Isaiah said what about Jesus? That he would be the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace. And there's a number of times, and even this passage from Micah chapter 5, which talked about him being a shepherd that will rule and come out of Bethlehem. A little bit further on, as you read the rest of that down into about verse 5, 6, and 7, you'll read that there is a ministry of peace upon this shepherd to God's people. At the time of Jesus' birth, there was another prince or king who was in place. He was certainly not a prince of peace. He was not a good man. If I was doing my white hat, black hat, I'd certainly be wearing a black hat for old King Herod. No one was safe around him. His own wives, his own children, let alone anyone else who wanted to raise their hand up and say, yeah, I'll have a go at being king, in trouble. So much so that he wanted to kill all the little baby boys under the age of two if they were to threaten his reign as king. He was not a prince of peace. He was certainly a king of war. Jesus comes into this time as the Prince of Peace, and there's another man reigning on the throne. So the clash of kingdoms is incredibly obvious. But the clash of kingdoms all the way through Jesus' life is incredibly obvious. We see again and again and again Jesus bringing about the kingdom of God, saying the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is here. We saw Jesus do things that the kingdom of God was about. We saw him heal the sick. We read about him turning water into wine. We read about him walking on the water. Now, that story of walking on the water is so real to me at this moment in time. A friend of mine who just happens to be here today, and this story was in the sermon before you arrived, so it's sorry about that. He's got me up on a paddleboard, and his first example on a paddleboard was down at Lake Karramundi, and we paddled on these paddleboards all the way down and had a coffee down there and paddled all the way back. It was a piece of cake. I only fell off once, twice. It was easy. And the next day I wasn't in pain or agony at all, so paddling on the water was easy. Walking on the water, not far off. Then Friday, he says, let's go out to the little bumps at Cotton Tree. So we get out to the little bumps at Cotton Tree. And if you look at the story of Jesus walking on the water, there were waves in him walking on the water. And even on a paddleboard, 11 foot long, I couldn't stay up on the water. I was falling in the water more regularly than the waves were coming. So Jesus walking on the water is an incredibly significant thing that took place, and it's something different to the realm that we live in. There is a clash of kingdoms. Jesus reached out to the unlovable, to the lepers. He challenged the status quo of his area. And even near the end of his life, we get to a point where he is again up against another principality, as in Pilate, another king or prince, but not of peace, certainly not of prince of peace, certainly something different, another clash of kingdoms. As we've already looked at today in our own lives, there's a clash of kingdoms. And some of you have shared some brilliant things that make sermon points just in themselves. The subtleness of sport, the subtleness of relationships, the subtleness of, well, I've got my stuff together. I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. Why do I need God? And if you look into Australian culture, that's the main God of our culture. I don't need God. I'm quite well. Thank you very much. I'm paying all the bills. I live in a beautiful house. And if it's a bad day, I'll just go down the beach and enjoy the beautiful place I live in. Why do I need God in my life? Clash of kingdoms can be quite simple and quite powerful. Jesus challenges you and I to a very simple clash of kingdoms, a clash of kingdoms that's in our own lives. You see, Jesus challenges us and calls us to follow him. He calls us to be a follower of Jesus, to take up the cross daily, to deny ourselves and to follow him. The baby Jesus that was in the manger and the wood that's around him in the manger is the similar wood that's around him at the cross at Calvary, where he dies for you and for me. The clash of kingdoms. When we stop for a moment, and we will be very soon, stop and reflect on who is the ruler in your life. Herod had his own desires that he wanted to follow after. Pilate had his own desires that he wanted to follow after. And each of us, each and every one of us, has the opportunity to follow after our own desires and do things our own way. Or we can grab hold of the Prince of Peace and say, no, I'm going to make you the Lord of my life. I'm going to make you the one who will rule my life at this Christmas. When everything around me is jarring, when everything around me is clashing, I'm going to take hold of who you are, Lord Jesus, and I'm going to make you number one in my life. I'm going to follow you. And as some of you have already shared, as you step out in following Jesus, there is a change that takes place in our lives. Some of the changes are by what we read in the Word. Some of the changes are deliberately brought about by the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and we get a sense, I don't think I should be doing that anymore. I think I should be living this way if I want to follow Jesus properly. Clash of two kingdoms. The one that's in our lives will break our heart again and again and again. Because the more we let Jesus rule in our lives, the more he will show us his heart for our community, his heart for this world. You saw James this morning as he reflected on watching a video from Aleppo. A disaster that is happening right here and right now. And it touched his heart. I believe that's because he's decided to follow Jesus. And he wants to do what God wants him to do. Now, there's a whole bunch of us that are looking at different ways to support the folk over in Aleppo. Some of you are not aware, we're putting some stuff up on the Kiwana Life Facebook page to help you understand what's going on over there. Some of the news is a bit hit and miss. But one of the figures that grabbed hold of me late last night, early this morning, was 22 million people are displaced. 22 million. Now, I only heard on Friday that there's 24 million now living in Australia. So could you imagine the whole of Australia not having a place to live? That would blow your mind, wouldn't it? Homeless, displaced. And some of the places that a lot of the refugees are going to, they're going to Egypt. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think Egypt's doing real well. They're not a tourist place at the moment because it's not a place to go and visit. But yet they're taking in the refugees. Turkey, which is also having lots of upheaval. Turkey are taking in. Jordan are taking in a lot of people. And others are just finding places that they could set up something that they could call a little hovel and just live with their family. 22 million. Europe has taken 1.5 million of those that were displaced. It's a major, major thing that's happening. The very least we can do is pray into it. The very least we can do is be aware that there's a clash of two kingdoms. And we as God's people are called to be his people. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, I want to thank you that when I was 14 years old, you came and you tapped me on the shoulder in quite an amazing and brilliant way. And I want to thank you even more for how much patient you have been with me over my life and my walk with you, that you've continued to be such an amazing Lord and God and Savior, that you've continued to want to work in and through my life, renewing my mind, cleansing me of the stuff that's in my life, making me more and more useful in your hands to be a blessing to the community that you've called me to be a blessing to. But Father, you've got so much more work to do in my life, and I'm fully aware of that. And so again today, I just want to say, Lord, I am yours. Use me. I want to say, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. And I want to pray that same prayer for all of us here, Lord God, that our desires might be your desires, that we might be able to let your love flow in and through us. Father, I thank you for this Christmas time, where it gives us the time and the permission to stop and to reflect on what it is that you might want to do in and through our lives. That you loved each one of us so much that you entered time and space as a baby child, a baby boy, so unexpected, in a way that is so out of what we would probably design and write in a book or put in a movie. And yet you've done it this way, unexpected, but certainly a clash of kingdoms. Father, I thank you that your love is amazing and it's available for each and every one of us. In your name, Lord. Amen.